You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's good morning and welcome back to the Valley of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio. I've never met this pastor, but he has turned out to be one of my favorite Zambian pastors, Pastor Baldwin Mulenga. And this morning, we want to be discussing from the book of Matthew chapter 25, asking for more when you cannot manage what you have. But first things first, it's a good morning to you, Pastor Mulenga.
Morning, thank you, and good morning, listeners, from wherever you're listening to us from.
Yes. Thank you very much, Pastor. And Pastor, I love your WhatsApp statuses on Friday, because I get to know what's going on in Zambia. Where do you get all those posters, Pastor?
I think I'm just a bit nosy. I'm also trying to multiply my talents, like we're talking about today.
Yeah.
I'm also giving up what's going on around the my sphere and circle.
Mm.
So it's kind of my keen interest. I'm very, very interested in ministry.
Yes.
So in the same way I'm interested in ministry, I want to let people know what's happening around them,
mm.
just to make sure people know which church they can go to, especially those who are on the road like me.
Mm.
Because there's certain times when you are maybe just traveling on the road, you're in Gaborone,
mm.
you're saying, where am I going to worship from? Where, I mean, Musaka. And then when I give you those options, you'd be like, okay, I think let me drop here.
Yes. Yeah. I like that, Pastor, because I was saying to myself, sure. one day if I land in Zambia and I don't know which church to go to, I will go to Pastor Mlenga's status and I will know.
You're very much welcome, please.
Now, Pastor, tell us, which conference are you under in yes, Zambia right there?
I'm with Lusaka Conference.
Oh, yes. Lusaka Conference. We thank the Lord.
Yes.
Now, Pastor, let's get into our discussion.
Yeah.
I find the story, the parable All of right. the talents, a very powerful story. And we're going to look at it a bit in detail this morning. And for me, it starts when the author Matthew says, he writes exactly what Christ was saying. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So now already Jesus is giving us a perception, a picture to say, it's like, you know, he's saying, for the kingdom of heaven is as... You know, and I found that to be yes. very interesting, because Christ is giving us a 360 degree, if I may use that, to say, this is what God did.
Mm.
It's like he went away, but he gave us something to do whilst he was away. Let's get into that discussion, Pastor. Why would Christ and God entrust us with talents? Why didn't he send angels to do this work?
Okay. So, firstly, the context is the one which we shouldn't miss. We may miss everything if we miss the context.
Yes.
So, remember, Matthew 25 is preceded by Matthew 24. Matthew 24 gives the signs of what is going to happen in the end.
Yes.
So, the disciples ask him privately, to say, how are we going to know when these signs come?
Mm.
So, he gives them three parables, which is firstly the parable of the 10 virgins.
Mm.
Five were wise, five were foolish. That's not so much our interest today, but we know that when the bridegroom comes at midnight, those with the extra oil are the ones who manage to get in so that they can be wedded.
Mm.
The other ones who were looking for oil were put out and they were not allowed in.
Yes.
Then secondly, he talks about the parable which grabs our interest and there is our attention today, the parable of talents.
Yes.
Where he talks about a man who lives in a far country, and then he leaves these people with talents.
Mm.
I'll skip over that one because that's our major interest, but let me go to the third one, then I'll come back to it.
Mm.
Then he talks about the parable of the sheep and the goats as regards what we are supposed to do when he is away.
Yes.
Like, funny enough, is that both the sheep and the goats, so the goats were on the left and the sheep were on the right.
Yes.
Is that... they were doing things unconsciously because the sheep didn't know why they were on the right and the goats didn't know why they were on the left.
Mm.
They said, how did we get here? He said, when I was hungry, you did this to me. And they said, when did you see you're hungry?
Yeah.
So it's like both of them were surprised.
Mm.
So now, very quick application before I answer your question.
Mm.
Sorry, I'm using my theological mind.
Go on, Pastor. Go on.
Context.
Yes. Go on, Pastor.
Yes. Mm. So the last part shows us that because all these three parables tell us what we are supposed to do while we wait.
Yeah.
And the one way which we are supposed to do while we wait is what Jesus says is to occupy.
Yeah.
He uses that word well in Luke, occupy.
Yeah.
So what did those five virgins do while they were, while the bridegroom was away? They occupied themselves. They, though both of them, the foolish and the wise, were sleeping, but when they woke up, it's what they carried extra on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made them outstanding from the rest.
Mm.
But for the last parable, the sheep and the goat, it means that these people did not really do things because of works. It became part of their lifestyle, because the sheep were surprised that they were on the right and they were saved, and the goats were surprised that they were condemned and they were on the left.
Mm.
So it means that they did things unconsciously.
Mm.
It became part of their lifestyle to visit people in prison, like those examples he gives, to give a drink to those that were thirsty and the like. A good example is somebody who drives a car, but then we give indicators when you're turning to the left or turning to the right.
Mm.
But when you are a good driver, even when you are driving to your farmhouse, way in out in the country, in the rural area, in the outback, you still be giving indicators to say you are turning right, even though there is no car behind you.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? You've been driving a car for so long, such that even when you are alone in the road, you still obey the road traffic rules.
Yes.
That's how it is when Christianity or Christ becomes part of our lives.
Oh.
There are certain things that we are going to do without even being consciously aware, because that is who we are. That is our lifestyle. We're not just doing it so that we can score points and so that we can be loved by others, but that is who we are.
Mm.
Now, coming to your question, where he says, why does he give them the talents? Why does he entrust them with that? And that's the first principle of stewardship.
Yeah.
The first principle is that God always gives us something.
Amen.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is given.
Mm-hmm.
So the parable begins with this man who goes in a far country.
Yeah.
And he gives them responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no one, I like what you're saying, maybe as I close this answering the question.
Mm.
Pope John Paul II, the late Pope, says, there is no one who's so rich that they do not want more.
Mm.
Neither is there anybody who's so poor that they've got nothing to give.
Mm. Mm.
That's where stewardship is.
Yeah.
There is nobody who's so poor that they've got nothing to give.
Yeah.
Only that we can give things in a different way, but everybody has something to give.
Mm. Powerful. I like that, Pastor. And moving on, Pastor, the Bible says he gave to each according to his ability. And I found, you know, I'd read the Bible over and over on this chapter. But when I reread and this thing jumped at me. What does this statement mean, Pastor, to say he gave according to his ability? And what does it mean for me, the ordinary Christian, the ordinary man on the street?
So a very good question, actually, and a very insightful one.
Mm.
Because good questions are what are going to get us the real meaning of the text.
Mm.
So when the Bible says he gave us according to, he gave these servants according to their own abilities, it means that he knew their strengths and he knew their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be used as something that can be a positive thing or even a negative thing.
Yeah.
That is our ability.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it to you in this form. The person who uses who has manufactured the microwave, they know exactly what you are, how you're supposed to use the microwave.
Yes.
Or maybe the person who manufactured the car, they know the weight, the capacity, what type of fuel it will use, whether it is petrol, diesel, or anything in those lines.
Mm.
So God also, since he's the one, I won't say manufactured, because we're not made on a conveyor belt, but I'm going to use the word create.
Yes.
He's the one who created us with our special peculiarities.
Mm.
For some, he has given us temperaments, that of being a sanguine or being a phlegmatic or being a melancholy or being a choleric. Others, he has given strength of being so intellectually endowed. Others are physically endowed with strength.
Mm.
So he knows our ability.
Yes.
When he says this car is a 14-ton truck, he knows what 14-ton is.
Yes.
That is a plus, because he cannot give you more than you are able to bear.
Yeah.
But also it becomes a disadvantage, because some people feel because they've been given something, they cannot be able to bear it. So the reason why that is very important for us to know is because God is the one who created us, and he knows what our maximum capacity is. I like what the book of Corinthians, it says, there's no temptation that has overcome us except that which is common, but God is faithful in that when he gives us that temptation or that test, he's able to provide a way out for us.
Yes.
So when God gives us things according to our abilities, we must not even be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's because he knows we are able to bear it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Mm. And remember, God is not somebody who supervises from afar.
Yeah.
He's someone who actually supervises and does that work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a supervisor who says, you go, and then I want this report.
Yeah.
But he works with us throughout. Because remember, he says, behold, I'll be with you all the way, even till the very end.
Yeah.
So when he gives us according to our abilities, it's because he knows how strong we can get or how weak we are. So he measures our abilities and gives us according to it.
So Pastor, can I say, I've often heard some people say, I don't have a talent. Can somebody in this world say, I don't have a talent?
So if somebody says, I do not have a talent, because remember, that is not true, first of all.
Yeah.
Because our talents, let's not restrict our talents to only the talent of physicality or whatsoever, but I want us to discover talent or to explore this talent thing as gifts, abilities, talents themselves, experiences, as well as skills.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So if God has not given somebody one single talent, it means that there is no need for that person to be judged, because on what basis would they be judged on?
Wow. Okay, I didn't think of it that
you
way.
Get the point.
Yeah.
So talents which have been given to us, again, one more time, they are gifts, they are abilities, they are talents, they are experiences, they are skills.
Yeah.
This encompasses stewardship.
Yeah.
There's no way I will be held accountable if at all I wasn't given something in the first place.
Yeah.
Mm. So what God gives me and entrusts me with is what will hold me responsible.
Mm.
So that's the reason why everybody has been given at least one. Maybe let me also put it in context, by the way.
Yeah.
When the Bible says a talent, this talent which is being placed, you talked about here, is not a coin. I used to think like that, but in this text I discovered that a talent was not one coin.
Okay.
A talent was actually about three sacks of treasure.
Oh.
That was one talent.
Mm.
Scholars agree to say it's about one talent is actually about a salary of 3 to 6 months, around that much.
Oh, okay.
So the one was given one talent. Yes. The one was given one talent actually was given like 3 months or 4, 5, 6 months ahead. That's like half of your annual income.
Okay.
And then it was told, here is this.
Mm.
Please work with it.
Mm.
And then occupy while I'm away. The other one was given two, meaning that's two almost times six.
Okay.
The other one was given five. That's like five times six.
Mm.
So when God says he's given you one talent, it's not a literal one talent.
Mm.
Like, for example, some people will say, I am gifted in singing only, then I cannot preach.
Mm.
But maybe you can also be gifted in preaching And then you can also be gifted with hospitality, because there are some people who are gifted with hospitality.
Mm.
There are others who are gifted with mercy. There are others who are gifted with intersection. There are others who are gifted with healing. So it doesn't mean that you are only specializing in one.
Mm.
And maybe let me say this. Maybe I'm going to have to shoot myself in the foot. There are some preachers who started off their ministry singing.
Yeah.
They were singers. They were musicians. But then when they turned out to be preachers or pastors, they went into the mainstream, they dropped off singing, and they thought it was a lower calling, and they thought they could concentrate on one. Mm. Well, that's more or less like barring one of your talents.
Oh, okay.
You can still work with all of them and still maximize on both.
Mm.
You don't have to specialize, because even one talent is a minimum of 3 months' wage.
Yeah.
So even though you're given one, that's like one times three.
Mm.
So although you can say that there's no one who's not gifted by a single thing, the truth is there's no one who's gifted by one thing, because that one talent equals 3 to 6.
Oh, yes. That's quite interesting, because, Pastor, I was actually, my next question was going to say, why did God use money? But you've answered me. You've answered me. Thank you very much for that, Pastor. Now, and the Bible then goes on to say, after it says he gave according to his ability, it says straight away he took to his journey. And I became very concerned, Pastor, because in my question was, If the Lord gave them talents, if the Master gave them talents, where was the training session, Pastor? Where were we equipped the servants to say, go and work? Because it says straight away took to his journey. When did the training happen?
Mm-hmm. So the training, there are two ways of learning.
Mm.
There are some things which are taught.
Yeah.
And there are some things which are caught.
All right.
I'm using that in a colloquial way.
Okay.
I don't want to be so formal, because the audience can be in a vast and
a
social strata in between.
Mm.
So some things are taught and some things are caught.
Yeah.
There's what we call guided learning and unguided learning.
Yeah.
Some things which are taught are things which I sit down with you, I give you a formula. We are in homiletics class. I tell you, this is how you're supposed to preach.
Yeah.
You're supposed to have your sermon title, you're supposed to have your text, you're supposed to give your introduction, you're supposed to have the main points, your main body, the 3 points or 4 points or 1 point, and then you're supposed to have the conclusion, maybe even the appeal.
Mm.
I sit down in a certain systematic way, I teach you very well.
Yeah.
Those things are what we call caught. That's guided learning. But then there's also what we call unguided learning.
Right.
The things which I call things who are caught simply by observation.
Right.
Even children do this.
Mm.
They will look at how you dress. If you like using or wearing a bow tie, they'll carry it with them. If you like crossing your legs while you're seated, you will not tell them to do that. But some things are caught. They see it, they'll do it.
Yeah.
They'll see how you talk to your spouse, or how you speak with your siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are caught. Even though you tell them you should be nice to ladies, and then you are not nice to your lady, which is your wife, they'll still catch that, because that's unguided.
Yeah.
So these people, remember, although the story just starts by saying immediately he left, we cannot move the fact that for him, remember, one talent is 3 months or 4 months salary, or even up to six.
Yeah.
For him to have entrusted that much money to them, obviously they spent time with the Master, not knowing how long.
Yeah.
Because although I was Bill Gates, I wouldn't just give you a 3 month salary down payment after I meet you for the first time.
Yeah.
You should have earned my trust. Even prisoners who have served a certain prison term, when they earn the trust of the warders, they are even given time off. They can even supervise other prisoners, like Joseph did in the Bible as well.
Yes.
They can even be sent out in the community for some minor activity. You know, go and do this, and then you come back maybe at noon, or come back at 6. Before it is 6, you come back, and they do that because they've earned their trust. So these three servants, for them to have been entrusted with so much talent, which in this case, which Jesus' immediate context was money, 6 months salary. You can't allow someone who comes today for interviews and say, well, congratulations, we've given you the job. Yeah. Here is your 6 months down payment. You cannot do that.
Yeah,
it's
never.
It's highly risky. Mm. So the training was already there.
Yeah.
The training was already there. And if at all the training wasn't there, then that means that God is not a good master, because that would set you up for a trap. Even in the Garden of Eden, even in the Garden of Eden, Adam was also trained.
Yeah.
He was told what to do and what not to do. Eat this, don't eat this, tend after the garden. This is what you do. These animals, give them their names and everything like that.
Yeah.
Sasa, when he was left alone, stewardship begins, because he was taught and some things were caught.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful, Mfundis. That is powerful.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.